There was a time I went into a very big market for spare parts, right? And then I walked into the shop. This has happened to me several times. I walk into the shop and then I ask for the part I'm looking for. And then the guy says, we don't have it. Let me get from my neighbor. Let me get from my neighbor. And then this guy leaves the shop, runs to the other side of the road, and then gets something, right? So in my mind, I think it's just I didn't really think anything of it. I thought it was just one person who owns one shop, a company that owns one shop. They didn't have the product, so he's going to the other shop, to another person's shop, another company to go get it. What I realized over time is that these guys are really smart. So you have one company, one entrepreneur. He has three different shops within the same area. Sometimes they are neighbors. The same two different shops with two different names is owned by the same person. So all that time that he's saying he wants to go and get from his neighbor, he's actually going to another branch of his company that goes by a different name. So you see, so either way, even though he pisses you off in one shop or you're not happy with the service, the very next shop you're walking into is owned by the same person.
Every big thing starts small. It's a natural law. Every big multinational corporation was once a small business. Welcome to the Small Starter Business Podcast, a unique podcast for practical tips and advice to help you start, grow, or turn around your business.
Welcome to another episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. I am your host, John Paul Iwoha. Today's episode is about an interesting concept. And from the title, you can already tell that I'm talking about something called a house brand versus a house of brands. But don't worry, it's going to make a lot of sense to you very shortly. Now, in summary, what I'm trying to talk about is brand extension. And brand extension is when you start to add new products and services to your business. So there would come a time when you have achieved some level of success with your first product. Every business, or most businesses, start business with just one product. You stick with that product for some months or a couple of years, and then it becomes successful. And then you discover that one interesting way you can grow your business is by introducing another product. So there are businesses that have just two products. Some have three, some have 10, some have over 100 different products. So today's conversation, today's episode is about the best way to go about extending your brand, extending your product line, extending your service range. And the reason why this topic is very important is because of the kind of benefits you get when you start to expand your product range. One very obvious benefit is that you can grow and expand your business. So if one product is doing $1,000 a month or $10,000 a month, it's likely that two products will do better, and then three products will do better, and then four will do better. So it's just the power of numbers. It's just the law of numbers. So it makes common sense. The more products you have in your business, the wider the range of your products and services, the more money you can potentially make, because you're going to find some of your customers who used to be very loyal to just one product. Some of them may switch to your new product. Some of your customers may start buying the two products. They buy your first product and then they are buying your second product. There are some customers who will buy all your products, you know, and then when you think of it, some of your products are likely not going to be the same price. Some of them are going to be higher priced than other ones. So there are, you know, different opportunities there for growing and expanding the business. Another obvious benefit of line extension is that you can acquire a larger market share. So you can get more presence in the market. You can dominate the market better with more products. So the more products you have, the more visible you are in the market, and the more share of the market you can get. Another obvious benefit is that you can target specific niches and customer segments. So most times, one product may not appeal to everybody. That's because people have their own personal preferences. We have our own unique tastes. We have things we like and don't like. So by creating new product lines, you are able to target specific preferences and needs that people have, instead of having just one generic product. So that's one thing about line extension. You can move from the generic to the specific and then start to target specific needs. Some, rather than target everybody, for example, you may target just pregnant women, right? Or you may target newlyweds, or you may target people who just retired, you know, all those things. So those are opportunities that you can do, that you can take advantage of when you extend the range of your products and services. And of course, the very main benefit of this is that you can make more sales. Like I said before, if you're doing $10,000 with one product, it's very likely you can do higher numbers the more products you have. So the more products you have, the more likely you can hit higher sales numbers. You can sell more. And of course, consequently, the more you can sell, the more likely it is that you can make more profit. So it's very important when you get to that point in your business where your first product is now somehow firmly rooted in the ground, you know, and sometimes it can be boring just selling just the same thing, right? You can get innovative, you can get creative by thinking of other new products and services you can add to your line to give you some of these benefits I just talked about. So how do you do it? How do you do it when you want to add a new product or a new service to your line? Do you go the house brand way? And I'm going to explain what this means in a moment. Or do you go the house of brands way? So now let me explain. A house brand is a business that maintains the same name and brand in all its new products and businesses. So if the name of your company, for example, is Sky, what a house brand means is that if your product is named Sky, the second product will also be named Sky. So almost everything you're doing is going under the same umbrella name of your company. Almost all your products and services go by the same name. They are related to your company name, your brand name, your trademark, and all that. So an example of this, so that you really understand this well, is Virgin. Now, Virgin is the company owned by the British billionaire, the entrepreneur, Sir Richard Branson. So I'm sure you know Virgin has an airline. Virgin is involved in travel. Virgin has gyms. Virgin is in the banking space, is in the financial services space. Virgin is in the space travel with Virgin Galactic. Virgin is in the publishing business. They publish books and all that. The Virgin is in sports. So almost in all these different industries where Virgin is active, the product names are Virgin, Virgin, Virgin. So it's Virgin Money. Their banking business is called Virgin Money. Virgin Active, Virgin Galactic is the one for the space travel. So it's all Virgin, Virgin, Virgin. So it's different products, mostly across different industries. But the thing they have in common is they maintain the same name, Virgin. So once you see Virgin, you know, okay, this is Branson's company. Let me bring you closer to home for those of us who are in Africa. Dangote, for example, Africa's richest man, is also going by the house brand strategy. So you have Dangote Cement, you have Dangote Sugar, you have Dangote Salt, Dangote Pasta. Dangote is also into oil and gas. So mainly any business he goes into, any product, most of his products go by the name Dangote. So that's what a house brand means. A house brand means that as you extend into new products and services, they maintain the original name of the company or your brand or your trademark. So I hope you understand that. That's what a house brand means. Now let's talk about a house of brands. So what a house of brands means is that you're a business that uses new and different names for your products and services. So when you introduce the new product, or when you have a new product, or you have a new business or a new subsidiary, you don't go with your original name. You create a new name. So let me give you an example. I'm sure many people listening to this may not know a company called Diageo, right? D-I-A-G-E-O. I'm sure if you're very informed about these things, you may know Diageo, but in my experience, most ordinary people don't know Diageo. Now, but why is Diageo a big deal? Diageo is a big deal because it's one of the biggest owners of brands in the liquor, alcoholic drink space. Diageo owns Guinness. I'm sure, yes. You see, Guinness is much more popular than Diageo, but Diageo owns Guinness. Diageo owns Johnny Walker. Most people who drink know Johnny Walker, right? But Diageo owns Johnny Walker. Smirnoff Ice, I can imagine. Most people know Smirnoff Ice. Smirnoff Ice is owned by Diageo. Irish Cream, the Bailey's Irish Cream, is owned by Diageo. Ciroc Vodka, It's owned by Diageo. So what you see is that the products are more popular than the business, than the company name. So that's exactly what's happening here. Diageo owns all these brands because its own strategy is that it's a house of brands. So it's a company that owns different brands that have different identity, have their own different names. And what you find is that the products are likely more popular than the company, than the name of the company that owns them. Another common example that most people can relate to is Facebook, right? So most people say, I don't use Facebook, I don't like Facebook, but they use Instagram, right? They use Instagram, they use WhatsApp. Now, the thing is, Facebook owns Instagram and Facebook owns WhatsApp. But they clearly, somehow have preserved the different identities, the separate identities. Some people like Facebook, they use Facebook, but maybe they don't use Instagram or WhatsApp. Either way, whether you use Facebook or you use Instagram or you use WhatsApp, all of that money is still going back to the parent company, which is Facebook. Facebook also owns Oculus VR, a virtual reality company. So as you can tell, the strategy that Facebook has used here is to be a house of brands where all its different businesses and products maintain their own separate identity that is different from the original company, which is Facebook. So Mark Zuckerberg started with one product, which is Facebook. And then over time, he started to acquire other ones. And then he maintained the identity. Some companies may have adopted a different strategy. They may have when they buy a new company, or they float a new company, a new subsidiary, or they introduce a new product, they want the name, they want that product to share the name of the original company or the original brand. But then in this case, of course, Facebook is taking a different tack. So the question is, which one is better? Should you go the house brand way, where all your products and services bear the original name and brand of your company? Or should you go the house of brands name, the house of brands way, where all your products and services have their own separate and independent identities? Before we can answer which one is better, let's look at the upsides and the downsides of each one. So for a house brand, remember, a house brand is a business where all your products and services have carry the original name or your original trademark or your original brand. The major upside of a house brand strategy is that there is consistency in branding. Anybody who sees the name of your company, anybody who sees your name on any product knows. So when you see a Virgin product, for example, it's much more, you can easily recognize it because most people know the Virgin brand. So the benefit is that when you introduce a new product or a new service, it becomes familiar to people, rather than a new product that has a different name that will take time before people realize that, oh, okay, this is actually a good product. So like I said, if you go the house brand way, when you introduce new products and services on the market, it's easier for people to recognize those products because they know the original name. They are aware of, they are familiar with the original brand name, right? So that's one major upside. There's a very strong name recognition in the market when you use one brand name across all your products and your services. So the downside. Now, the downside of a house brand strategy is that a bad image or reputational damage to one of your products or one of your services can affect the whole company, the whole brand. Because since all the products are sharing one name, if one of your businesses gets into trouble or creates a negative perception in the market, or people have a bad experience with it, it's very likely going to affect all the other products, even if they are in unrelated industries, because they share one thing in common. They carry the same name. They represent the company name or your original trademark. So that's a major downside of the house brand strategy. Now, let's look at the house of brand strategy. Remember, this is where all your products and services, all your new products and services maintain a separate identity. They carry different names, different brands from the original company name or company brand or company trademark. The one major upside of the house of brand strategy is that it allows you to be clever and invisible in the market. You see, just like Diageo that I told you, Diageo has all these popular liquor brands, but most people don't even know the name of the company. So whether you like Smirnoff Ice or you like Ciroc Vodka or you take Bailey's Irish Cream, all of that money is coming back to the same company. And most people don't even know you are the owner of all these popular brands. So, and of course, another benefit is that you can appeal to different types of customers with different brand names. That's another interesting thing. The other upside is that even if there is a bad experience with one of your products, because it has a different name and a different identity, it might be difficult, very difficult, for it to affect all the other products or all the other brands in your range. So it's like you're localizing the risk. Since every product had its own individual name and all that, if there's any bad PR, public image, or reputational damage, it's likely going to be localized to just one product or just one service. Now, when it comes to the downside, what's the downside of having different brands that go by different names, or different products that go by different names, or different subsidiaries or companies that go by different names? The major downside I can think of is that it can be more expensive, it can be more stressful, and it can be more confusing to manage different products that have different names at the same time. It can be very confusing, especially when you have a broad range. You have a lot of products that are going by different names, have their own different identities. I'm sure you're going to print different packages. You're going to require different kinds of labeling, different registrations, and all those things, you know, because for each brand name, each trademark, you may need to go get a trademark permit or license and stuff like that. So it can be a bit confusing managing all of them. So again, we'll come back to this point. Which one is better? Should you go the house brand strategy, where you just have one name and then everything bears that name? Or should you go the house of brand strategy, with a house of brand strategy where you have different names and different identities for your products and services? I think the answer is it depends. And it depends on your own circumstance, your own situation as an entrepreneur. It depends on what you're trying to build out. So at this point, let me share my own personal experience. Now, I started Small Starter Africa because of a very strong vision that I have, which is that if we can empower and build more strong small and medium-sized businesses in Africa, Africa will be able to create a lot of jobs. Africa will create wealth and prosperity and progress for itself, because small and medium-sized businesses, SMEs, are the engine. They are the engine of any economy. So I started my business, and then my focus, my target market were entrepreneurs who run small and medium-sized companies. That has always been my target. Now, over time, I've come to a situation where my work has gotten me noticed by big corporates. Either they are big corporates or high net worth individuals. These are people who don't play small. They play like really big. So you can imagine sometimes how they feel when I present my company as Small Starter Africa. These are guys who are already used to big stuff. They write big checks, right? They don't want to be involved with anything small. So the problem I have is that there is a conflict. When I send in a proposal, or I send in an engagement letter or something, and it's bare, you see my logo, Small Starter Africa, somehow it diminishes the value they expect from me. And the worst thing I noticed, now pay attention to this, the worst thing I noticed is that it started to affect the perception of my pricing. So if I charge them what I'm really worth, what the work is really worth, they start to imagine that I thought you're, even actually one of them made the comment, I thought your prices are, you know, amenable because you work with, you know, small. They start to claim that they are small when I know that these guys are big. So, and I know what is causing that contention in their mind is the name of the company. So what I've done is I've created a separate company targeted at those kinds of people. It has a name that is, you know, more or less sits within that kind of class. It sounds VIP-ish, premium, and, you know, all of that. So that when they see the name, it somehow rhymes with their own status, their expectations, their perception, their preferences, and all that. So that the whole thing about small doesn't even come into the conversation at all. So in that situation, it was obvious to me that I had to go with the house of brand strategy, where I have different products that are targeted at different segments of the market, you see? So that's one way you can apply the strategy. Another experience I've had, which I think will be very useful in this episode, is there was a time I went into a very big market for spare parts, right? And then I walked into the shop. This has happened to me several times. I walk into the shop and then I ask for the parts I'm looking for. And then the guy says, we don't have it. Let me get from my neighbor. And then this guy leaves the shop, runs to the other side of the road, and then gets something, right? So in my mind, I think it's just, I didn't really think anything of it. I thought it was just one person who owns one shop, a company that owns one shop. They didn't have the product. So he's going to the other shop, to another person's shop, another company to go get it. What I realized over time is that these guys are really smart. So you have one company, one entrepreneur. He has three different shops within the same area. Sometimes they are neighbors. The same two different shops with two different names is owned by the same person. So all that time that he's saying he wants to go and get from his neighbor, he's actually going to another branch of his company that goes by a different name. So you see, so either way, even though he pisses you off in one shop or you're not happy with the service, the very next shop you're walking into is owned by the same person and you don't know. So it's a very smart way of, like I said, getting more sales, improving the footprint of your market and all that. So that's one situation where a house of brand strategy can work. Another one too I've noticed is with the supermarket chains in my neighborhood. So the first time I discovered this was, I noticed that there was one supermarket shop, right? And then the other one down the road was a different supermarket shop with a different name, right? But I started to notice something different. Sometimes, you know, after buying from one of the supermarkets for quite a long time, I got to know some of the people who work there, like the person who mans the cashier and some of the sales attendants, right? But then sometimes I wouldn't find what I'm looking for there. And then I go to the other shop down the road and I started noticing that I was seeing the same faces, the same employees in the first place were working in the other place. But, you know, initially I was thinking maybe those guys quit their jobs in the first place and they started working in the second place. Because this second place has a very different name. Even they have very different colors in their logo. It looks like two very separate companies. But then in the end, I found they are the same company. And that's really smart because you might think, oh, I don't like the supermarket, you know, let me buy from the other one. It's like saying I don't like Facebook, but I love Instagram. Either whichever one you use, the money still ends up with Facebook because Facebook owns both companies, right? So these are just some interesting examples I thought I should share so that you see how these things work out in real life. Most times it's not as if you're going to say, I'm going to be a house brand, you know? Sometimes it might be the situation that forces you or compels you to go the other way. Like for me, for example, I would have loved all my products and services to go under the Small Starter Africa name because I've spent almost a decade building this brand, right? So anything I create can immediately benefit from the power of the Small Starter Africa brand. But then I just explained to you, I faced a situation where the brand name was not aligned with the customer segment I was targeting. So I had to create a new name, a new company to target that audience. So most times it's circumstantial. Most times it's your situation and your preference and the challenge you're facing that will determine what strategy you're going to follow. So at this point in the episode, there's someone really interesting I need you to listen to. I talked about him in the last episode. Maxwell Adjou is an entrepreneur. He's one of our insiders, one of the members of our private community, and he's building something really interesting with his company Quezza. But it's not the company I really want to talk about today. Let's listen to him about one of the big problems that small and mid-sized businesses face as they try to sell more and expand their market footprint and grow their sales and their profits. Over to you, Maxwell.
Hello, Small Startup Business Podcast. My name is Maxwell Adjou. I'm the co-founder of Quezza Limited. We digitalize trade for micro, small, and medium-sized business in Africa.
Okay, so Maxwell, what would you say is the biggest problem that small and medium-sized businesses face as they try to grow and expand their businesses?
Small and medium-sized, micro, small, and medium-sized businesses in Africa, they face several significant challenges. But on top of the list is access to market, not just access to market, but a proven access to market for them to be able to trade and compete with their counterpart in other parts of the world. I'll just make a very simple illustration. Ghana and Togo. For you to drive from Ghana to Lomé, which is the capital of Togo, is about 4 hours. Product that comes from Ghana, manufactured locally in Ghana, is easy for Togolese to know, to find out. They don't even know. Product that locally manufactured in Togo, in Ghana market, they don't know. So if you take, for example, a product to Togo, and you ask them, oh, this is the product that is made in Ghana, we were trying to sell it, they don't know about the product. But go to every mall, every street in Lomé, you'll find product that comes from Europe, from China. They won't know the names. And you wonder, how this product come from far away? The people are consuming the product, they know about the product. Because this product will come from Asia, will come from Europe, they have a proven access to market for the consumer, for the retailers in Togo to know about them, to resell them. It's very easy for those products to find their way to the Togolese, even to the Ghanaian market or to the African market. So the intra-African trade in Africa is hampered because there is no proven access to market. We don't know product that come from each country, so we can't even trade in the first place if we don't know product. Because no matter how good a product is, if people don't know about the product, it's as good as nothing because they don't know how to buy or where to buy. So on top of the list of a problem that face a micro and small business in Africa is a proven access to market that will enable them to compete with their counterpart in other parts of the world, as I said earlier. And of course, they can increase sales, they can build their value chain wherever possible. So the problem is access to market.
Okay, so that's really great. You've heard from the man. Kweza, in my own estimation, this company is really going to do very interesting things because it is taking on a problem that has been ignored for a very long time. We've been attacking this problem from the policy level, from the diplomatic level, hoping that America and Europe and all of that will have mercy on African entrepreneurs and do more business with African entrepreneurs. But it's a structural problem that we can fix. And now that we have technology, I'm glad that we have entrepreneurs like Maxwell who are taking on this problem. So at this point, let's recap. Let's recap this episode. This episode was about line extension, brand extension, where you get to that point in your business and you need to introduce a new product or a new service, or you need to float a new subsidiary of your company. Now, that's exactly what brand extension is. That's exactly what line extension is. It's all about growth and expansion. You want to reach more people. You want to make more sales. You want to expand your footprint in the market. You want to become more dominant. You know, most times you max out the potential of the first product you started with. It's not growing anymore. If you want to grow, you need to introduce new products and services that cater to much more specific and unique needs. So that's one strategy. You go from the generic to the specific. And then I said, when you come to that point, there are really two strategies you can follow. You can go the house brand strategy, which is that all the new products and services and the new subsidiaries you create go by the original name. They share the original name and brand and trademark of your company. Or you can go the house of brand strategy, where all your new products and services and even the new subsidiaries you create have a new and different and independent identity from the original name of the company and all of that. I give you examples. I said one house brand is Virgin. You know, Virgin Galactic, Virgin Active, the Virgin Money, all those things, they benefit from the Virgin brand. Dangote too also uses the same house brand strategy. His cement business, sugar business, salt business, all of that bears the Dangote name. I also talked about the house of brands, and I gave you some examples. Like Diageo, a company that most consumers don't know the name, except you are into understanding business and investments and all that, before you can even know the name of a very big company, actually, because when you own brands like Guinness, you own Johnny Walker, you own Bailey's Irish Cream, you own Smirnoff Ice and all these things. So most consumers know the name of the products more than the name of the company. And that's the house of brands strategy. And like I said, they both have their upsides and their downsides. There's no one that is perfect. The one that is perfect for you is the one that meets your needs the most. Let me say that again. The one of these two strategies that is better for you, or the best for you, is the one that meets the needs that you want. Using my own personal experience, it was obvious to me that going the house of brand strategy was the only way to get what I was trying to achieve. So at this point in the episode, there are four things I need you to consider. join the Insiders program. This episode was inspired by a question from one of our members. This is one of those small decisions that can ruin your business in the long run. So you're at a point where you need to float a new business or a new subsidiary. Which way should you go? House brand or house of brands? The benefit of belonging to a community like this is that you can learn from the experience of other people, so you can avoid making the very same mistakes. You can get sound advice that gives you a leg up in terms of strategy. One major downside of being an entrepreneur, especially in places like Africa, is that most of us work in silos. We work on our own. But there is a major power that comes from community. There is a major power that comes from networking. There's a major power that comes from getting access to experienced and sound expertise. Right? So you have the option of learning from your own mistakes, but all of us have limited time on earth. So it will be better, a much more efficient and intelligent way is to learn from the experience of other people. You can as well learn from other people's experience. No, you don't have all the time in the world to learn from your own experiences. So it's very important you consider joining the Insiders program. That is the main way to work directly with me and have access to all of our other interesting members who are building amazing things. To learn more about the Insiders program, check us out at smallstarter.com/insiders. Again, it is smallstarter.com/insiders. The second thing I need to consider is to tell your friends about this podcast. The quality of education, business education you get from this podcast. I'm not boasting about it, but I really give it directly from experience, from what I've learned as an entrepreneur myself, and then working with other entrepreneurs who have helped in different industries. So our formal school system doesn't do a good job of creating entrepreneurs. Most people who come out of our educational institutions are mainly armed with a certificate. All they can do is to fit into a job. And if there are no jobs, they just sit at home and they say they are looking for a job. So, but what entrepreneurship does for you is that it gives you an alternative. If you cannot find a job, you can create a job for yourself. And you can also create a job for other people. That's the power of entrepreneurship. We're now in an era where most people are looking for jobs. But who the hell is going to create those jobs, right? We keep asking government to create jobs. I don't know any economy in the world, including China and the US, where the country is the major creator of jobs. Jobs come from entrepreneurs. It's entrepreneurs who create jobs. It's companies that create jobs. Right? You can go work in the civil service or work in the military, but the capacity of those sectors to hire people is limited. The only way to build and create jobs at a massive scale is when entrepreneurs get to work, solving problems, meeting needs, satisfying people's wants, serving the market, getting innovative, creating new products and services, applying some of these strategies that you learn on the podcast. So that's exactly how we can find our way out of this. So the more people who can listen to this message, the more people who are tuned into this podcast, the greater the quality of entrepreneurs we can churn out. We need problem solvers. We already have a lot of people who complain, who blame, who criticize. We already have a lot of those people, but we don't have enough thinkers, enough creators, enough innovators, enough problem solvers. Those are the people who are going to give us the solutions to our problems. And that is exactly the kind of person we're trying to create with the kind of content I share on this podcast, with communities like the Insiders and all of that. So if you have a smart friend, right? Somebody who can solve problems, or somebody who wants to solve problems, tell them about the Small Starter Business Podcast. They are going to love you forever. The third thing I need to consider is, if you love the content you've been getting on the Small Starter Business Podcast, leave us a 5-star review. A 5-star review will make me smile, is good for my ego, but the most important thing it's going to do is, it's going to make it easier for other people to find the Small Starter Business Podcast. When you leave us a 5-star review, the algorithm favors us more, because what you're telling the platform is that this content is good. More people should listen to it. So that's what a 5-star review does. And if you want to leave us a 5-star review, head over to smallstarter.com/review. Smallstarter.com/review. So again, I just have to say this. If a product is good, if a product will provide value, if a product will help you, then there is no sin in selling that product. In fact, you can never oversell a good product. So any chance I get, I would recommend to you that you check out the Insiders Program. It will be nice to have you within our small community of entrepreneurs who are, you know, actually doing something about their ambitions and their vision. So onto the very next episode, stay safe, be a thinker. These things, the strategies, the solutions to your problems are already out there. And thank you for being a loyal listener to the podcast. I can't wait to share my knowledge and experience in the very next episode of the podcast. Take care of yourself. Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Small Starter Business Podcast. To take our free business courses or join one of our signature programs for special entrepreneurs like you, head over to smallstarter.com to join our private community. See you inside.